Okay.
Okay.
I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Good morning.
Good morning, Elias. Yay, wonderful to talk to you again.
And you also.
I think I would like to start by telling you about a dream that I had last night and see what you might have to say about it.
Very well.
Okay. So, I'll just... The parts that I remember, I was sitting kind of up on a hill looking at the ocean, and there was a retaining wall there, and kind of like the levees in New Orleans, but a dolphin jumped out of the water and was on the shore, and the dolphin's body was very rigid, and it was kind of flopping around, but... And a very its body was held rigid, and it finally flopped back into the ocean and swam away again. And I ran up to look at it, and it seemed like it turned into a bear swimming in the water. And so then the next part is my son Aaron was standing there talking to three large brown bears, and I felt very nervous, and I ran up and I told him to stop talking to the bears, or I said, they're bears or something. I was afraid. And the bears turned into human beings, and then they said, we're not bears, we're humans. But the feeling that I had, it was almost like they made, almost like I forgot that they had been bears a moment ago, and so then I didn't remember what they had been. But my daughter assured me that, yes, they had been bears and that they were bears. And then I think I made an association with Aaron. I call him Aaron Bear, and so that was part of it, too. So I was thinking about that dream this morning afterwards, and an interpretation came to me about what the bears might symbolize. I thought that I kind of associate them with large objective imagery or situations that I'm afraid of, because I think it's large and that it's bigger than me and that it can hurt me somehow. But the shape-shifting part was that showing me that they're, well, for one thing, it's very changeable. The imagery is very changeable. And also, the fact that they shape-shifted into humans kind of, maybe that points to my fear of situations when I'm interacting with human beings and I'm afraid or very uncomfortable in those situations. So what do you think about all that? How did I do?
I would express that your interpretation is correct for the most part, but I would also express that the imagery of the shape-shifting, so to speak, with the dolphin and with the bears is also imagery in relation to associations, and that they may not always be what they appear to be. That at times, large situations or even individuals that you may feel intimidated with or nervous or frightened may not actually be what they appear to be. That initially they may appear to be ominous or fearful, but that they may actually evolve into a situation that is not, and that is beneficial or even inspiring in some manner. That what you initially view in situations or with individuals is not always what it appears to be.
I also had an experience a couple months ago when the emotion wave started. I was in the woods, and I was practicing staying in the now moment and noticing my own energy projections in the now moment. And I was very intent on what I was doing, and looking at flowers and the ground and the dirt and ants and everything. And it seemed like reality was very less solid or something. It was kind of tingly and changing and less solid. And then I looked up, and in the not very far distance, I saw what I thought was a little dog running around on the ground. And I looked around for its master, and when I looked back, it looked like a bear cub that was in the same spot that I thought it was a dog. And so I looked around again looking for the mama bear. When I turned around again and looked at the animal, it had become a big bear. And so, well, one thing I want to know is, was I creating that it was really shape-shifting, a real reality? And then also I would like to know the symbolism of that. And after that, like in the next week or two, I was having other bear experiences with bears coming to the house. So can you tell me the symbology of all that?
And your assessment?
Well, that again relates to my interpretation of me being afraid of things that I consider to be large and scary, and that actually that they're really changeable, and that in one moment I can be experiencing something. Well, I noticed that when it became the big bear, that's when I lost my cool, and I could not focus anymore on the moment, because it just seemed too big or overwhelming, and I just had to get out of there, and I lost all my concentration.
Very well. Interesting imagery you are presenting to yourself.
Thank you. It's kind of fun.
I would express that the initial imagery that you presented to yourself was an example of how you can escalate your energy. Now, you can move from calm and focused and curious into confusion and thusly escalate into apprehension and even fear or being uncomfortable, and how quickly that can occur.
Yeah.
I would express that you may be offering yourself this type of imagery to address to that fear and to allow yourself to move more into your own empowerment and the recognition of your own strength, that if you are empowering yourself and you are aware of your own strength, you will be projecting a very different energy. And in that, not that I would advocate to you to engage a creature such as a bear, but the fear would not be present, and without the fear being present, the energy is different, and a bear would likely ignore you and would not approach. And in that, you would be more manipulating the situation rather than relinquishing your power to the creature, which the creature, in like manner to all creatures, recognizes energy more than any other expression, more than actions, more than sounds. They recognize energy. And in that, if you are empowering yourself and your energy is equally as strong as the bear's energy, you will be matched, in a manner of speaking, and the bear will incorporate no reason to engage you. Therefore, it is not necessarily a matter of the creature itself or the imagery of the creature. It is the symbology to you to be empowering yourself and to be recognizing your strength. As to the first encounter, was this a situation of shape-shifting? No. It was a matter of perception, and in that, perceiving in incremental manners to show you that escalation and change of energy and how dramatically it changes and how quickly it changes. In this, you perceived the bear initially to be small and not even to be a bear. And when you glanced again, you did perceive it to be a bear, but a small one. And when you glimpse the game, you perceived it as it was. Now, not to say that in your reality, all three of those perceptions were not very real. They were. Therefore, what you saw was real. But as for the creature itself, no, it did not change.
Okay. So, the change of how quickly my energy changes from being calm to being fearful or from losing or becoming confused, what I want, and I do recognize my strengths sometimes, I guess what I want to know is, am I automatically addressing to this, or is there something more that I should do to address to it? Doing my best already to pay attention in the now moment, to pay attention to myself. Is there some other action, or is it already sufficient?
I would express that what you are doing is adequate, and that it is sufficient. I would also express to you that you can playfully engage an intentional action in what you perceive to be a safe manner, such as if you are within your home and you view a large animal outside of your home, such as a bear, but you are what you would term to be a safe distance from it, you can engage a game with yourself to be practicing with empowering yourself and feeling your strength. And in that, you can playfully view the animal and know that you are safe, and envision yourself to be a bigger bear.
Okay.
And allow yourself in that playful action to actually imagine and feel what it would be to experience yourself as a bigger bear, viewing your hands to be large claws, and viewing your chest to be broad and strong, and viewing your head to be very large with enormous teeth.
Okay.
With tremendous weight that would be so powerful that any other bear that would approach you would quake with fear merely at the sight of you.
All right. That's fun. Okay, thanks, Elias.
You are welcome.
The next experience that I would like to discuss with you is, this is one that happened, it was probably last spring also, and I had spent a lot of time on my own in the house because I had broken my ankle, and so had a lot of alone time and a lot of subjective time that was mostly interactive with myself. And one night I was sleeping on the couch and I had a dream. It didn't feel like a dream. It felt more like I was awake, and I had an experience where I felt my sense of self as if I were the molecules of water in an ocean, and all of myself and all of my, I was aware of my physical environment in the room that I was in on the couch, and it all felt like it was my sense of self too. And it seemed like I experienced all of the molecules or energies of myself culminating, coming together into a peak intensity into the moment where it all came together like the peak of a wave, and that expressed the physicality of the moment, which also felt like myself. And then it all came apart, it all dissolved and dispersed into nothing, but I was still aware of myself, or I was aware, there was awareness. And then in the next moment, everything came together again, slightly rearranged, but it was still my environment. And so I experienced my environment coming together into a peak intensity and expressing, and then coming apart again. And my sense of self felt so light, light and almost non-existent, not identified with anything. But there was a sense of just interest. I was just interested in everything. And during that experience, my husband woke up really early to make his shake, and he turned on the blender in the kitchen, and I was there on the couch. And so the blender was going, but I didn't come out of that experience. It seemed like that was just what it was too. It in the past, it might have annoyed me, or you know, it might have been a jarring sensation, but it felt like since it was coming apart every moment, it didn't really have an effect on me at all. It seemed like what it was. And anyway, then when I started coming out of that experience, I could feel my sense of self getting more solid or more congealed or something. I could feel my sense of self becoming more of a something. And then I was out of it. But when I woke up, when I got up for the day, I felt so happy and so like I had been infused with such a light, such joy. And it was, you know, that lasted for half a day. I was just walking on air and feeling so high and happy from that. And I felt like maybe I had infused or let myself be infused with more of my true essence, and that was still shining into my consciousness as the day progressed. So I'm interested in hearing your interpretation of that experience.
I would express that what you allowed yourself to experience was an objective experience of being essence. This is the experience of being essence, not contained within the separation of one individual body consciousness. And I would express that your description in objective terms is quite accurate, that movement of peaking and dispersing, that is a pulsing action that is expressed continuously as essence, as consciousness. And in that state, it is quite understandable that the sound of the machine would not necessarily be affecting of you, for in that state there is no separation, and you are aware of the lack of separation, that all that is you. And this is, in actuality, an unusual experience that you have allowed yourself to include your objective awareness in it, not merely as a memory, which is different. I would express to you, Michael experiences very similar when I am engaging conversation with any of you. But the difference is that he does not include the objective awareness during the experience. He incorporates a memory of the experience, but not an objective awareness within the experience. This is an unusual action that I would express not many individuals allow themselves, that type of experience in which you would include your objective awareness within the experience to be viewing it while you are experiencing it, and knowing in an objective manner what you are experiencing within the experience. The element of the sound of the mechanical device is the evidence that validates that you were objectively experiencing in this entire situation. But it is also an interesting experience that you have allowed yourself, for you also allowed yourself to be aware of moving yourself back into your natural objective awareness in relation to the separation encompassed in the body consciousness. You allowed yourself to experience that process also, which is significant for this now has offered you an actual experience of consciousness not actually being a thing and how it moves into solidifying itself into things. You are aware of you are aware of what it is that is essentially you, but you are also aware that that is not necessarily a thing. And you allowed yourself to experience it becoming a thing. I would be tremendously acknowledging of you. This requires a significant allowance and a significant openness to generate the ability to experience in that manner. And offers you a tremendous knowing. In this, I would be congratulating you in taking a deep step into the remembrance. That is a significant shift. You are very welcome.
One of the questions that I had about that experience and that knowing, I wondered after I had it if that is a possibility of a way of experiencing reality, if I could actually function and experience my reality from that viewpoint, at least sometimes. I just wondered if that is something that will be more common after the shift. And I also wondered if it's more of a soft experience, and if that is the emergence of subjective and objective, or if that is something that will always be more usual.
I must express this is several questions.
Yes.
I would express, first of all, yes, that is a genuine emergence of the objective and subjective. Not that they are separated, but that you perceive them to be separated. And therefore, this is a emergence in perception of the objective and the subjective. As to this being unusual, it is unusual to this point, and it is unusual in relation to your history thus far. Will it be unusual once the shift is completed? No. Will it be an action that individuals engage continuously? No. For your question in relation to would you interpret the ability to function objectively and also incorporate that experience . It is possible briefly, but it would be possible in simple functionings. It would not necessarily be conducive to the actual mundane routine actions that you incorporate within your day. You could express that experience in an action such as your game of feeling your power and being the bear, but it would not necessarily allow you to function effectively if you are engaging in actions such as being helpful with your children's homework.
I understand that.
In an action that requires concentration objectively, in any measure, this type of experience would not mesh with the functioning of your objective awareness and your objective doings. Therefore, even with individuals futurely that would be entirely shifted, they would not engage this action continuously, but at times, to offer themselves different information or inspirations, but not regularly or not often. But yes, you can re-engage that experience and you can incorporate it to be inspiring to yourself, for it is a reminder of the vastness of you and the powerfulness of you, and in that it can be very validating, very empowering, but not necessarily conducive to routine actions.
Okay. All right. Well, another experience that I'd like to talk about is sometimes I meditate every day, and Sometimes it's easier, and sometimes it's just really easy for me to be very much in the now moment and paying attention to myself, where it seems like time slows down and the now moment is just so full and everything is just as it is, and it's fulfilling, that's the word. And so sometimes when I spend a good part of the day like that, and then I happen to go out and start meeting people or interacting with people, and so that tone, that energy is still with me. And the other people, when I'm in that kind of self-awareness, other people seem to, their beauty just stands out. It's like I just feel so attracted to any of them that are in my space, and they seem so beautiful to me, and I just enjoy being with them so much, and you know, I feel a lot of affection and love for them, appreciation. And I think, well, my interpretation of that is that I'm allowing my true essence to, first of all, during the meditation, I'm allowing more of my essence in, or my awareness of essence. And then when I go out, I still have a lot of that with me. And so I'm seeing their true essence too. Maybe that's it. I'm not sure. I kind of like an interpretation of that too, because I'd like to be able to direct that more, because it's really the way I'd love to be with people all the time.
I would express that your interpretation is quite accurate. You are allowing yourself a greater awareness of yourself as essence, and the natural byproduct of that is viewing other individuals as essence also. Therefore, you view a greater aspect of them and are aware of their wonder as much as you are aware of your own. This is the same principle as what I have expressed repeatedly. When you generate acceptance within yourself, the automatic byproduct is that you will be accepting of other individuals also. When you allow yourself to experience yourself as essence, and you incorporate more of an awareness of that, you will also experience other individuals as essence and the wonderment of that and the expansiveness of that.
Well, that is so inspiring to me.
And this is the point, my friend, is it not?
Yeah, that's the point. It seems like it takes away all of the other concerns that I might have about interacting with other people.
I would agree. And I would express what an interesting and wondrous reality you will incorporate when you all are generating this type of perception.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, that's very inspiring too, to think about that. Okay, so I guess Another thing I'll talk to you about is the emotion wave, and the ways that I personally am navigating it. I feel, I don't feel a lot more emotional than normal, than I had in the past. I'm political focused. And actually, I was telling Mary, it seems like in my own personal reality, my family and friends, that nothing seems very turbulent. It seems, you know, like it was before, for the most part. If I turn on the TV news, then I can see some more trauma happening. But in my personal life, everything's generally pretty calm, and I feel like I'm managing my own energy well enough, paying attention. I have noticed that I'm able to more clearly see and perceive my own energy projections towards other people, and so that, I think, has actually helped a lot, because if I can see what I'm projecting, I can also change it. And I feel like I've had that ability since the emotion wave started. I availed myself of some Buddhist information that helped me to see my projections. And so I started practicing that. And so I was wondering if that is my own version of the emo wave.
Yes.
Okay.
I would agree, and I would also be acknowledging of you, for this is also another expression of being a bridger, for the energy that you are expressing ripples out, and therefore is affecting, even if you are not objectively witnessing it, it does create an effectiveness with other individuals to lessen any discomfort with other individuals' situations and how they interact with this wave. I would be commending of you.
Oh, thank you, Elias. That was going to be my next question, is that it appears to me sometimes, especially if I have been very focused and calm and clear and focusing on essence with myself, it feels like situations in my family just start going right. Seems like I don't really have the objective evidence that I affected it. But it feels like things in my reality seem to go the way I would choose for my loved ones and for my community and whatever groups I might be interacting with.
Yes, you are quite correct. And that is your evidence.
That everything is peaceful and calm and going well, and
and that is you rippling your energy, and in that, when you ripple energy, it is influencing what occurs and beyond your community.
Really?
Quite so. Regardless of whether you objectively are aware of it or not, this literally occurs beyond your community, your energy ripples out throughout consciousness, and therefore ripples out far beyond your physical proximity.
This makes me feel so powerful.
And you are. Much more powerful than the largest bear that you can imagine yourself to be.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I want to just briefly ask you about, I think I might be addressing to this already, but my last time I talked to you, I told you how I was gaining weight in my middle, and you said that I was projecting an energy of worry about my family. And after that, I gained even more weight around the middle. And so now I've decided that I don't want to have this. It interferes with the yoga and my enjoyment of yoga and some body movement and things like that. And so I decided, well, I'd give permission to myself to lose the weight, and I started exercising. And also, I'm still continuing to pay attention to my energy and my projection. So am I addressing to this issue, or is there more to it that I'm unaware of?
I would express an acknowledgement to you. You are accomplishing. And yes, you are addressing to the issue and moving forward. And in that, I would encourage you to credit yourself with your accomplishments.
Okay. I am accomplishing in that area. And
yes, you are.
Okay, great. Thank you, Elias.
You are welcome.
Okay, well, I have some confirmations and things like that that I'd like to go through kind of more quickly.
Very well.
First one, let's see, Annette. This is a question for Annette. And she wanted to know, which direction does the Indigo Energy Center radiate? Up, out, or down?
Up.
Up. Okay. Thanks. And now for James, my friend James. He spent a lot of time trying to identify his intent in this focus. And one of the a statement that he came up with is taking things apart. Another statement is observing differences, understanding how things work. And then another one is observing right and wrong. And he thought, well, maybe all of that together, or one of them separately, or something like that.
All of them together, which would be the exploration of the mechanics of this reality.
Okay. All right. Thank you. James had another question. He wanted to know, are the computer pioneers Charles Babbage and Conrad Zuse the same essence?
No.
Okay. All right, and these are for myself. I personally, I'm interested in the orientations and in identifying those for people I know and getting more clear handle on what they are energy-wise, what the energy feel is of that. So I'd like to get some confirmations on people.
Very well.
Okay, so my friend Teresa, is she soft?
Yes.
Okay. A little boy named Ray, is he soft?
Yes.
Okay, my son's friend Nicholas, is he soft?
Intermediate.
Oh, okay. His mom, Jennifer, is she common?
Yes.
His dad, Rich, is he intermediate?
Yes.
Okay, and his brother, Anthony, is he common?
Yes.
Okay. My friend, Patty, is she soft?
Yes.
Okay, her son, Jack, is he intermediate?
Correct.
Okay, is Patty's husband soft too?
Intermediate.
Okay. Ken Wilbur, is he intermediate?
Yes.
Okay. Victor Wooten, is he intermediate?
Yes.
Okay. My friend Gia, is she common?
Correct.
Her son, Jesse, is he intermediate?
Common.
Okay. Her daughter, Isabella, is she soft?
Yes.
Okay. Her husband, Scott, is he intermediate?
Yes.
Okay. There's a person named Jax. He is a teacher on a Dzogchen email list. Is he intermediate?
Yes.
Okay. A friend named Mei Li, is she soft?
Yes.
Wow, I am so impressed with myself. Okay, so the guideline that I kind of follow, I'm trying to feel into these orientations. Well, with soft, I usually feel an immediate affinity or something. And so that's kind of how I sometimes know they're soft. I feel comfortable. But then there's also, with common people, it feels like there are more boundaries, more energetic boundaries.
Yes, I would agree.
Okay, do you have more to say about that?
I would express that that would be accurate. But common individuals are more objectively expressed in a manner of speaking, and they generate more attention with objective imagery, and that could be translated by a soft individual as interpreting boundaries.
Okay. I were going on. Can I quickly ask about intermediate?
Yes.
Okay, so yes, to me, I have a hard time getting any kind of handle on them. So then I think, oh, they must be intermediate. What's that about?
Intermediate individuals do not express an overt energy, generally speaking. Their energy is very much contained in themselves. Now, as always, I will express that there are exceptions to that, and there are degrees of it, but generally speaking, intermediate individuals focus their energy strongly with themselves, and in a manner of speaking, do not share that with other individuals except in one-on-one situations or with individuals that they feel close to. Therefore, in a manner of speaking, figuratively, were you to be in a group of individuals, the intermediate individuals would almost be invisible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I feel that. Or it seems that way. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much, Elias.
You are very welcome, my friend. I shall be anticipating our next meeting.
Thank you. Me too.
In great appreciation to you, as always, and in dear lovingness. Au revoir.
I love you. Au revoir.